And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Good morning and welcome to the NBA Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. You can find the Daily Ding every morning on the Athletic NBA Show feed. And this morning, it's me, Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Mo DeKeel. And we got to get into this Lakers-Spurs game that was absolutely phenomenal. The Lakers, they ended up pulling this out 125-121 in overtime. And it looked like this game was going in one team's direction. It was clearly over. Then it would swing really quickly the other way. And then, of course, in overtime, Russell Westbrook got it done. Finally, a great game, Mo, for Russell Westbrook in the Laker uniform.
Yeah, no, it was phenomenal. I mean, this was a low turnover game for Westbrook. We don't get a lot of those. Even when he has a good game, we generally go, he still has like six or seven turnovers. He only had three turnovers, Jared. It was pretty impressive from him. And, you know, obviously it's his first good game as a Laker, so we can say it's his best game as a Laker at this point. But it's the most comfortable he's looked. You know, this looked explosive. There were at times where he hit the turbo button, blew by a defender and got to the rim, and actually finished when he got to the rim. It was a really impressive night from him. But this was an impressive night from the Lakers, Jared, because when you're talking about it going back and forth, this game was tied at 82, and then Lonnie Walker the fourth goes on a run for the Spurs. The Spurs themselves go on a 15-3 run. It looks like it's over. I'm like getting ready in my head going like, okay, what are the tweets going to be? Who's saying what? Like, what's going on? And then the Lakers just come roaring back, man. You got to give them credit for staying in this.
Yeah, early fourth quarter, Anthony Davis comes back into the game with about 9.5 left and just scores over and over and over again. He was so big on the offensive glass in this game. I mean, there were a few times there, especially in overtime, where Jakob Poeltl, who we'll get to in a minute because he had a phenomenal game, they would get the stop at the rim, even like Russ would get stopped, and then AD would just be right there to clean it up. I mean, he really was the sweeper out there for the Lakers.
It's hard to call their probably best player at the current moment who's dressed a sleeper, but he was just phenomenal. When they needed a bucket, he went down in the post, right? And I'm going to take these guys on. This Spurs team is too small for me. Even your grown son, Jakob Poeltl, was too small for him, you know? And I think he was able to kind of just dominate and impose his will in that, like, hey, I'm the go-to guy. No LeBron here. Russ is still new. And I think he just kind of took it to another level. An impressive performance from the Lakers. I don't know what else to say.
By the way, I called him a sweeper, like in soccer, where like he's like that deep line guy to kind of clean everything
that
up.
That massively different.
I guess in a way you could say he was a sleeper, that he would sneak in and grab those offensive rebounds and tip it back in. But you know, I do want to push back a little bit on the defensive part. I don't know if this is really his fault, but the big thing that really defined this game was Jakob Poeltl destroying the Lakers on the pick and roll. He was finishing over and over and over again. He had 27 points, 14 boards, 3 blocks, went 13 for 17 from the field, and 1 from 5 for the free throw line, of course. But he kept getting these roles where Dwight Howard would be in drop coverage, and the Lakers wouldn't have anybody rotating into the paint to tag on Jakob Poeltl rolling, and Anthony Davis was kind of in position on a lot of those, even if he wasn't necessarily the lowest guy who's usually the guy making those tags. But there was this like fundamental flaw with the Lakers just not doing anything to stop Poeltl from rolling.
Well, I think people just better get ready for the Lakers being a bad defensive team. When you look at that roster, you go, oh, okay, yeah, not a lot of defense up and down that roster. AD is potentially their best defender overall, and There were moments, though, I thought he had some good plays. He came in there with four blocks. I mean, you're talking about not rotating. I think a lot of that was the low man being mostly the guards. I had a couple of plays where, you know, he got a big dunk on Malik Monk because Malik Monk was reacting and not being proactive and being in the lane early to help on that exact pick and roll situation you were describing there, Jared. So I think a lot of it is, you know, not so much AD as much as it was the low guy, and a lot of times it was guards. You know, it was the Malik Monks. It was the Kent Bazemore crew not rotating over and being there in position. But also, let's not bury the lead. Talk about your man.
Jakob Poeltl is so good. And he got buried in San Antonio for just too long. And he's finally getting entrusted as the five. And he's looking really good. I mean, the guy is just such a fundamentally sound defender. And they just have a great feel of how to use him in pick and rolls in like kind of weird spots, like mid-range, high posts out on the wings, stuff like that. It's not a lot of him just setting a screen up at the top of the arc and rolling necessarily. In San Antonio, they're a team full of these guys like Murray and Walker and Vassell that can all playmake a decent amount. I mean, DeJounte Murray, we kind of buried the lead here, 21 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds. Derek White, he had 6 assists in this game. Walker had 6 assists, which is actually a big deal for Walker to have 6 assists. But they're finding all these kind of creative ways to get into those pick and rolls, and it worked really well.
Yeah, and listen, I kind of want to stop talking about the Lakers. I feel like this is a team we're going to talk a ton about several times on the Daily Ding, Jared. Let's talk about these Spurs, because even though they lost, it was a very impressive performance all across the board. You touched on DeJounte Murray, Derek White. Lonnie Walker had that flash of brilliance for a couple of possessions. Like, this is a young team that just continues to fight and play hard. Like, it's so Spursian, Jared. This is the team that just will never die.
I can't think of anything more Popovichian than Kata Bates-Jupp playing 30 minutes in this game. I didn't even realize he was still in the NBA. And he had a plus 16. He was actually very good.
He had a corner three, I think, that they made a two. But, like, a big possession.
It was a huge shot.
It was an overtime, right? Or was that in the four? It all blends into one.
It was right at the end of one of those two. I can't remember.
They are finding guys and turning these guys into useless players. It's huge for them, man. It's fun to watch. I know we're not going to talk much about the Spurs, so let's give them their flowers right now.
And it's just fun because between Walker, Vassell, Murray, and Keldon Johnson, it's like they've got – Derek White is still relatively youngish, I guess. But they've got four guys that are on the come up that it's fun to see their development every night. And, like, Vassell had some great passes in this game, was phenomenal picking guys off and getting in transition, shot the ball really well. I mean, they just keep coming at you with these athletic wings that can kind of do everything.
They're going to be a fun team to watch, especially because they're trying to play more up-tempo, trying to push the ball a lot more. This is going to be a fun one to watch for a while.
Well, let's head out to Utah, where the Jazz beat the Nuggets 122-110. The big moment of this game was obviously the incredible fight between Hassan Whiteside and Green, but I think the more important part of this game was Nikola Jokic.
Okay. Before you get to Jokic, we got to stop calling these things fights. This is, I shove you, you shove me. We're never actually going to do anything. We got to find a better name than calling this a fight, because it doesn't do it justice for how much of a not fight this is.
They actually never really made contact. I guess, like, right at the beginning, there was a small shove, and then they got separated before they
came. Yeah, and it was
anything.
The ref who got shoved.
But yeah, so we'll get to the Jazz in a minute. Rudy Gobert is really good. But Jokic had 24 points in the first 15 minutes of this game with 6 assists. I mean, it was insane what he was doing. And then bangs knees. He has a knee contusion, was out for the rest of the game. Are you concerned?
I'm not concerned. I think this was very precautionary from them. It's the start of the season. It's not right. No reason to really push him at this point. A knee contusion. I mean, it sucks because he was so damn good, Jared, in the first half of this game. And then we lose him for the rest of the game along those lines. But I think it's just being very precautionary if you're the Nuggets. I mean, this is your franchise. Forget your season. It's your franchise. You want to be very careful with him.
Yeah, and that's on top of Will Barton. It looked like he might have had a thumb sprain there. He was holding his thumb a couple times. Right at the end, you could see him grabbing at his thumb. He still had a really good game. I mean, he had 21 points. He was the guy really driving the offense there once Jokic went out. So hopefully the Nuggets don't fall apart. But let's get to Utah. Rudy Gobert just was borderline perfect in this game.
I don't know if there's anything else to say. Yeah, when you look at the way Rudy played, the thing is, what really helped for Utah was they were just able to attack the Denver guards, because we know the situation, no Jamal Murray, all this stuff and things like that. But the guards just were not able to keep the Jazz guards, especially Donovan Mitchell, out of the paint, which then opened up so many easy lob opportunities for Rudy, for Hassan Whiteside before he got ejected. It's just, it all starts with the guard play up top and getting the penetration into the paint.
Yeah, because, you know, Mitchell went 1 for 9 from three, but he went 8 for 11, I think, inside the paint, which is pretty incredible for a guard, but not surprising for Mitchell. It wasn't the cleanest game for him. He did have 5 turnovers. You saw him getting a little sloppy when he was trying to split the defense on the pick and roll, stuff like that. But he was just persistent, and Utah kind of found ways to get around him. And then, obviously, Jordan Clarkson kind of got into his bag, especially in the second half.
I know you touched on the turnovers, but also Mitchell with 6 assists, 5 assists from Connolly. I think, you know, it was a very typical Utah Jazz game, right? Good ball movement, got everything flowing along those sides. And then Jordan Clarkson, like you said, coming off the bench like he's trying to win the Sixth Man of the Year all over again.
So we're not going to bother talking about the Mavs win. They won. They beat Houston 116-106, not a shocker. What was really interesting in this game was that the Mavs played all 15 players on their roster before the third quarter was even over. I've never even seen that happen before. I mean, we're pretty early into the era of having 15 active guys on the roster, so this might have been the first time it's ever happened. But the explanation was really fascinating, because Jason Kidd said after the game that this decision was made by the Mavs Leadership Council, which, according to a tweet I have not verified yet because it's too early into the evening, apparently that's Luka Doncic, that is Tim Hardaway, and Kristaps Porzingis. So, Mo, are you a huge fan of this?
No, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Jared. Like, when you told me this, I am hoping this is not true, but it is. But, like, it's just so incredibly dumb across every metric. First off, having a leadership council, which worked so well for the Jim Boylan Chicago Bulls and that whole fiasco, and then having them decide the rotation, and yes, we should play all 15 guys. No, it's just stupid at the end of the day. Like, you, and especially, listen, the Mavs got a lot of work to do, right? They got smoked on opening night. It's, you know, they're beating up on Houston and all this. That's fine, but it wasn't even like a blowout win or anything like that. It's not smart. You got to start working your rotations. You got to start figuring out how you want to do things and things like that. I get it. You're going from Rick Carlisle, who, relative dictatorship, to Jason Kidd, who's just trying to be like, hey, I'm like the cool guy. Hey, I let you know, I'm the cool uncle. I'll let you have a drink type of deal. But this makes no sense. It's just not good. This is not a smart idea. I hope it was just something with them willing to screw around with this game. But if this is something that continues, I'm just telling you, there's going to be problems, because they don't have 15 good players on that roster.
Do they have double digits? Who knows? We'll find out this year on the NBA. So that's going to do it for Mo. I'm Jared Weiss. We have Brian Smith on the boards for us. Remember to subscribe to the Athletic NBA podcast if you haven't already, or the Athletic NBA show, as it's actually called, and I'm supposed to get it right on the first try. You'll find the daily thing there every single weekday morning to get you through your miserable day until basketball's on again. So for Mo, I'm Jared. Mo, take us out of here.
Ding, ding.